Praise God. Last week we admitted that life brings challenges. And sometimes it seems as if we struggle with dealing with those challenges. Sometimes it's not easy to handle the challenges that life throws at us. The upcoming year and a new decade are likely to bring challenges. We know that this is the way life is. None of us are going to go through life without some sort of troubles or difficulties or challenges or where we need to make decisions. Sometimes it's difficult. But I have to remind you that believers are travelers. We're travelers from another kingdom. We're travelers who follow the way of Christ. This world is not our own. But this book that we call the Bible, this is our visitor's guide. Okay? This is our visitor's guide. It helps us to navigate our way through this world. It contains the map, if you will. It helps us to stay on the path of Christ. And even when we face unpleasantries in this life, if we hold on to this, the Word of Almighty God, if we use this as our guidebook, we can make it through those unpleasant things. Now, we're going to return to the first chapter of James today. And we're going to find a promise that enables us to count it all joy when we face those difficulties. And this has a wide application. This passage of Scripture has a wide application. First, in the context in which it occurs, it is that we are to count it all joy whenever we have hardship. And it could be in any place, in any level, any part of the life that we live. Everybody wants to make wise choices, right? I mean, nobody wants to make dumb choices. We want to be able to do what needs to be done. You can find that passage on page 1849 there in the Bibles in your seats. That's James chapter 1. We're going to begin at verse 5 today. Now, you know what? I think we're just going to read from 1 through 8. We'll read 1 through 8. That way we get the context. But before we read, I want us to pray. Again, that's page 1849. Heavenly Father, prepare our hearts to receive Your Word. You created us for Your pleasure, Lord. You made us eternal beings. And You alone provide the way of everlasting life. Help us to embrace Your way. Please open our ears to hear from Your Word today. Please enable us to be Your children, that we would want nothing but to hear from You. Please take a hold of Your speaker today, Father. Without You, I'm unable to communicate clearly. Please give me unction to speak clearly and concisely. We ask for Your blessing on Dougie today, Lord. We ask that You would let us hear directly from You. We thank You, Father, for all who will receive Your message, whether they be in this building or through the channels online where we will share Your Word. May You alone be glorified. We ask that You would open the eyes of our understanding. Remove distractions from our minds, Lord. Let us not think of anything but what is before us. Your Word, Your truth, Your will for our lives. Help us to yield to You, Father. Help us to conquer any unbelief that might reside within us. Please pour Your Spirit upon all who hear this message. Help us to learn to live expectantly as Your Word commands. I pray in Christ's name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. James chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. And this is where it's written, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. So let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. I trust that God will add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word today. Father, we ask that you would open our minds, open our hearts, open the eyes of our understanding. Let us receive your truth. Let us receive your will for our lives from your word. Let us be guided by all that you have laid out for us. We pray in Christ's name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. As I said before, this passage has a wide application in believers' lives. You can apply it to anything. And when you have trouble in your life, you can say, God, I need wisdom. Help me to make the right decision here. If you're, as some of the young ones might be faced with at some point, deciding who they're going to marry. They may need to have some decision making there. You might have to have some wisdom. Is this going to be the person I'll spend the rest of my life with? And when I'm talking about marriage, I'm not talking about that license that the government issues for marriage. I'm talking about a God-honored union. Okay? They perverted the civil union. I think we need to restrain from even using that. I won't get into that. That's not what the service is about. But as I was preparing this message, there were a lot of things that were going through my mind about how this passage could apply to us. If we need to make a decision, let's say for adults who need a car, well, should I buy this car or should I buy that car? Do I really need all of this or do I really need all of that? Looking at a house, a place to live, you might have to make decisions and you may need wisdom to make those decisions properly. Should you get into a house with a mortgage or should you save your money and buy a house? If you're anything like me, you've made your share of unwise choices and decisions and moves in your life. I know I've made my share, folks. Because I didn't ask God for wisdom. There was a time when I was running from Him. I was living in the world just like anybody else. But these days, I like to turn to God for wisdom in all things. And so I see the application in all aspects of our lives. You know, no matter what it is, friendships, relationships, even what neighborhood you might live in, or what church service you might attend. You've got to have wisdom. You've got to be able to discern, is this the place that God wants you to be? The passage that we just read makes it clear that true believers are promised a free, unlimited resource when it comes to wisdom. There's no cost. There's no chains or there's no ropes. There's no binding to anything. God promises to give wisdom. And the context of this promise is related to wisdom that's needed to endure hardships in our life, for our faith, for walking the way of Christ. That's the context. It applies everywhere. But the exact context that it's found in is with this idea of counting it all joy whenever we find ourselves in hardships for our faith. And folks, I'll tell you, at the beginning of the year, it's hard for me to say, well, you know, if we're looking forward, we can see down the road there, at least in the spiritual eyes that God has given me through the time of fasting that He's had me go through in the last year, I can see there's going to be some trouble. It may be trouble for the whole church, or it may be trouble just for the true believers. It may be trouble just for a few of us because we're more outspoken than others. The context of the promise is related to wisdom needed to handle those problems that we have with our faith. All over the world, people are dealing with problems for their faith. All over the world, there are people being persecuted for their faith. Now, we in this land are fortunate at this time. We have a reprieve, I believe. I think God has stayed the problems. He's held back. His long suffering has provided us with relief, if you will. We had a number of years where we were not certain whether or not we were going to have that relief any further. It looked like we were going to be overrun with non-believers. Right now, this country is being held up, I think, by the hand of Almighty God through those that He has serving. And whether we agree with everything about this one or that one or whatever, I'm not getting into politics, folks, but I'm telling you, God's hand is on this country right now. We are being protected right now. But there will be hardships along the way. None of us who walk the way of Christ are restricted from asking for wisdom. We are all given the ability to ask for wisdom. We may ask Almighty God for the wisdom that we need to endure any hardship, most especially those hardships that we find ourselves in because of our faith. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of wisdom. Our Creator wants His creation to serve Him like James. What did James say? He's a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the head of the Jerusalem church, and he called himself a slave. That's what the word means. And it had the same negative connotations then that it has now. Different context. Their slavery that they look back on was not the same as the slavery that we've endured in this country. But slavery, generally speaking, has never been a positive thing. And so when James calls himself a slave, he's not boasting of something that he's proud of in the sense that the world would be proud of it. He's boasting in it because he is pleased to serve Almighty God. And this is where we are all to be. God offers blessings beyond measure. And in that respect, our lives become a testimony. A testimony to His faithfulness. A testimony to His goodness. A testimony to the fact that God takes care of His people. No matter what. Over and over and over in the Scriptures, we see where God allowed His people to get into trouble and then He delivered them from it. Then He allowed them to get into trouble and He delivered them from it. And they got into trouble on their own sometimes and He delivered them from it. He delivers us from evil. We pray this all the time. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. We pray it when we pray the Lord's Prayer. We pray, deliver us from evil. And do we not understand that we're asking Him to do what He does? Within the context of what James wrote, we find hope. We find hope. He said, count it all joy when you fall into various troubles or trials. He's not talking about a court trial. He's talking about problems. No matter how difficult life in Christ becomes, we have hope. Because Almighty God promises us wisdom to count it all joy. To be joyous. To be able to rejoice when we have trouble for our faith. We simply need to yield to Him to receive what He offers. Now, I know with the internet and modern media, we all have heard the stories of people that do things that are unwise, I'm sure. And I was looking for some of those things because I thought I'll just make an example of something, you know. And in Florida, there was a 49-year-old man who called the sheriff's office and said that he had gotten a bad batch of drugs. And he asked the sheriff if he could test the drugs to see, you know, because he wanted to have his dealer arrested for selling him bad drugs. So they tested the drugs. They found that it was real. And they arrested him and put him on a $5,000 bond. And anybody in their right mind would know that's not wise. You don't take your drugs to the police and say, test these for me because I want my dealer to be arrested for selling me bad drugs. All right? Now, it's obvious that guy wasn't a believer. Anybody with the least bit of wisdom knows that this man was unwise. And James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Well, you have to at least be in communication with God to be able to ask God for something, right? So he gives it to all liberally, without reproach. So, we could see that that guy brought the trouble on himself. And the reason that makes a good example is because in the context of James' letter to all believers, he wrote to the 12 tribes, which means all the believers who were dispersed because of the persecution in Jerusalem. They went out and they started to spread the gospel all over the known world at that time, at least in that area. But in the context of James' letter, the troubles that he speaks of could be self-inflicted, not like the guy that was using drugs. But because, at the time of this letter, being a Christian could bring you persecution. And so, by choosing to follow the way of Christ, they could have brought it upon themselves to be persecuted. You could look at it from that perspective. And this is why James wrote, "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." Believers were troubled. They were arrested. They were persecuted. Because they challenged the status quo of religion at that time. Now, anybody who knows me knows I challenge the status quo of religion today. I am not religious. I don't want to be religious. I want to be relational. I want to have a relationship with my Creator, and I want to teach others to do the same. And yes, we follow some system of order, and some could call that religion. We use the Bible as our guidebook. It's our visitor's guide. We're here visiting earth, okay? We're from His kingdom. All over the world today, you see where people are being troubled for their faith. I don't know that there's a continent on the earth that isn't experiencing some sort of trouble, even in this land. Oh, it's not as pronounced as other places. But go into any one of the cities in this land and preach the gospel and see what happens to you. I've known people that have gone and done it. I've preached on the streets myself. It's not well received. Then you have people who stand up for their faith, who were persecuted even in this land. It wasn't that long ago that people went and they peacefully protested at these Planned Parenthood places, I'll call them. And they were arrested and brutalized by the police. It wasn't that long ago. This was the late 80s, early 90s. And so troubles, whether we like it or not, troubles are real for people who truly believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so how are believers to deal with that when it happens to them? See, we can look out on the world and say, well, you know, that's over in India, that's over in China, that's over in wherever, everywhere, Africa, Europe. But when it's here, when it's on our shores, when it's within the boundaries of what we call these United States of America, then what? And if you're not prepared, maybe it'll never happen in your lifetime, and I hope and I pray that it doesn't. I don't want to see anybody endure persecution. I have, not as severe as some in other places of the world, but I have endured persecution for my faith. Won't go into that, but I'll tell you, it's real. And I hope you never have to deal with it. But if I don't prepare you, then I'm not being the pastor that God has called me to be. You need to know that you could face persecution in your lifetime for your faith. In fact, it's written in the Scripture, if you're alive at that time, whenever that one world government stands upon this earth and empowers the religion, and the religion empowers the government together, they say, you've got to worship this creature. And you say no, you're going to endure persecution. I'm not saying that's going to happen next year. I'm not saying it's going to happen in the next 10 years, but it could. Like I said before, we've got, I think, a short period of time before the tables turn again. Unless Almighty God changes things, unless the people of God rise up and become a formidable force, unless the people of God stand up and tell this nation to repent, to turn to God, I don't know that we're going to see a change that's going to last. The one we call Jesus said, "Blessed are you when men hate you And when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake, rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For indeed your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. You see, James was just repeating what his brother or half-brother had taught. James said, count it all joy. Jesus said, count it all joy. When you fall into various trials, when you're troubled for your faith, whenever somebody pursues you because you love him, count it all joy. But how do we override our natural inclination in our natural reactions? Because our natural reaction isn't a shout of praise to God. Woohoo! I'm getting persecuted today. Thank you, Jesus. That's not my usual response. Okay, naturally. It's only possible through godly wisdom. That's the only way. Is if we have godly wisdom, we can shout a praise to God even in trouble. And again, the context is on Christian trouble, persecution for our faith. But it could be any trouble, whatever trouble. You get a flat tire, praise God. Give glory to God. He's saving you from something. I had to tell this to a guy one time. His van got a flat tire. And he was just cussing up a storm about the flat tire. And I said, you know, God's probably kept you from something. And then there it was. Down the road was an accident and he'd have been in it. You know, and so when we count it all joy, we realize God will take care of us. He'll deliver us from evil. My son had a tire fall off his car a week or so ago. His reaction wasn't to shout a praise to God. He didn't know how it happened. The guy that put the tires on probably didn't tighten the lug nuts properly, or he over-tightened them and stressed the lugs. Fortunately, the car wasn't crashed. Fender was damaged. Tire wasn't. Hub had to be replaced. But I said to him, God probably kept you from something worse. It's hard to understand. You know, when your wheel falls off and you go off the side of the road. But it could have been much worse. He might have been on the highway at 65 miles an hour and that wheel came off. And I know it's hard for us to look at things like that. Back to the context. It requires godly insight to look past the circumstances and give glory to God. It takes godly insight to look past the troubles and endure whatever it is for your faith. It's easy for us to try to handle it our way, or by our will. That's what comes natural, you know, by the flesh. But if you see anyone that lacks wisdom, tell them to ask God, even if it's you. Ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to them. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, it's written in Proverbs chapter 3. And lean not on your own understanding. And we could say, don't rely on your own fleshly reactions. But in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now here's the wisdom in that. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Thus it is written, thus saith the Lord. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Not just that part that you use on Sunday morning when you come into a service like this. All of your heart. Give your heart to Him. Trust in Him. And to man, he said, this is written in Job 28, to man, he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to turn from evil is understanding. You see, that's the testimony of two witnesses there. And by the testimony of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. When we look at the Word of God, it interprets itself. It tells us, this is our guidebook. It's our visitor's guidebook. We get to use it to guide us through this life here. James said God gives wisdom liberally and without reproach. God's generous with His wisdom, and He doesn't criticize us for asking. It's not like we've got to, well, you know, here I go asking God for wisdom again, you know. Can I just get it? No. We don't just get it. He says to ask. Now, part of that there is to have our relationship with Him. To be in a relationship with God, and we simply just turn to Him. Okay, God, look, you know what? I can't figure this out, but I know You know, so how about You help me here? And I'll have those kind of prayers. Wake my wife up in the middle of the night. God help us. I'm praying in my sleep. God help us. I'm sorry, hon. I didn't mean to wake you up. That's okay. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. God's generous with His wisdom. You want to be strong in times of trouble? Ask Almighty God. Ask Him. And He will guide your steps. He will. He promises He will. And He promises what He keeps. He keeps what He promises. It goes hand in hand. He will not promise if He's not going to keep. And if you call upon Him using His word, God, You promised if I needed wisdom that You'd give it to me liberally and You won't reproach me, I'm going to count on You for that. I need wisdom in this situation. Whether, again, the context of trouble as a Christian, as a believer, or anything in your life. Being a believer and trusting on God's wisdom to handle troubles and guide you to avoid trouble too. And I think about that crystal meth guy, you know, He brought the trouble on himself and he didn't have wisdom to know how not to do that. He put himself in that trouble. It's a useful example. When being a believer is outlawed, avoid those who would arrest you. Okay? There's the picture. And all through time, we've seen that in scriptures. Paul said, they were going to get me and I slipped down over the wall with a rope. We think about the guys that Rahab hid. They avoided capture. They avoided arrest. Today there's this move, I'll just surrender, give yourself up. Well, if I'm a believer and being a believer is outlawed, no, I'll be an outlaw. I'm not going to surrender. I'm going to do whatever I can to help others come to Christ. James said, God gives wisdom liberally and without reproach, and that's pretty wise to avoid being arrested. Whenever it's your faith that would cause you to be under arrest. Believers have hid from the very beginning when under persecution. That's why they dispersed from Jerusalem. They went out into all the world because they were being persecuted. They escaped that persecution. So God doesn't say lay down and be a doormat, okay? It doesn't matter what that context is, and you can take that across other contexts also. Believers have relied on the Holy Ghost to deliver them from evil. And that's only going to be until God's appointed time for us to die. Because it's appointed once for us to die. He says so in His Word. And it's not going to happen until He says it's okay. In Proverbs 26 and verse 12, it's written, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's no more hope for a fool than for him. The drug guy comes back to mind there. Wise in his own eyes. But he was foolish. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we hear, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. Really wise, truly wise, spiritually wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He catches the wise in their own craftiness. That's from Job chapter 5 and verse 13. He's quoting the Old Testament. And again, he quotes another passage from Psalm 94:11. The Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Don't think that we can be wise in our own ways. Don't think that we can have wisdom from below when God says to ask for wisdom from above. Don't try to figure it out yourself. Turn to Him. Turn to Him. Turn to Him. Over and over and over, I can't stress that enough. Turn to Him for the wisdom that you need, no matter what the circumstances are. Again, the context here is whenever there's trouble for Christians, but it applies across the board. Wherever you need help, turn to God. God, I need your help. If you want to make a decision, okay, we had a look at the ceiling last year and we said, well, what should it be? It was flat white. You couldn't see the character of the ceiling. We said, Lord, what are we going to do? He said, your brother's a painting contractor. Ask him. And this is what we got. When the plaster was falling off the wall, he said, God, what should we do? Do we tear the plaster off and replaster it, or do we just leave it? You see what happened. It's the wisdom from above. It's not the wisdom from below. Here is wisdom. Fear the Lord. In Psalm 34, verses 11 to 19, it's written, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Don't be a liar. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. God's Word never tells us that it's all going to go well for us all the time. His Word nowhere says, not in the Old Testament passages and not in the New Testament passages. What we hear is, we're going to have troubles. No matter what those troubles are, sometimes it's going to be for our faith. And when it's for our faith, we need to remember to count on God, to call upon God for wisdom to get through those troubles, to count it all joy, to be able to rejoice in those troubles, no matter what they are. Whether they are, in fact, for our faith, or whether they're day-to-day, regular, just everybody has to deal with this stuff because we're in this land, because we are on this earth, we're on this ship, this planet, whatever you want to call it. And yes, one day it's going to sink, and all of us are no longer going to be here. And if we're going to live for Him, we're going to have that relationship with Him, we're going to know when that happens. Trust me. We will know when it's coming. He says so in His Word. We will be prepared because we'll be watching. We'll be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. This will hold true even when believers are unable to buy or sell because they refuse the mark of the beast. Troubles will pursue those who are forced to endure that time. But God's wisdom will enable them to remain faithful. And we know from the Scriptures, no matter what our theology is on when Christ is coming back and how He's going to remove us and all of that, no matter what our theology is, we know that there will be believers there because we read in the Scriptures of the Revelation that there will be those who lose their heads for their faith. And they must remain faithful, and it will require God's wisdom in order to do that. Psalm 90 in verse 12 tells us, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Don't think you're going to live forever, folks. The Scripture makes it clear none of us are going to. Not here on this planet. We're visitors. We came here by God's grace, and our job is clear, laid out by Christ to draw others onto His path, to show them the way of everlasting life. And that's what we're to do. Now, does that mean we do that every moment of the day, of every day? I can tell you that's not the way that it is for me, at least right now. There may come a time when that is exactly what we're to do every moment of every day. And I guess in some ways we are because of the new internet technologies. Sermons are available 24/7. Sermons that were preached here in this building. People can access the Word of God, and people are all over the world. So in some ways, I guess I am preaching every moment of every day. But the key to receiving the wisdom that's needed to survive any hard times, whether they be for our faith or just the normal stuff that we deal with here, are found in James chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Let him ask in faith. Ask for what? Ask for wisdom. Ask for wisdom in faith with no doubting. For those who doubt are like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Unstable. Let not that man suppose or receive anything. In Matthew chapter 17, it's written that our Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. In Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, it's written, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. We live by faith. And if we have that faith and we place that faith properly in our Creator, if we place that faith properly, we have that relationship with Almighty God, we have a communication with Him. And that communication increases. It increases in frequency and it increases in intensity. And as we grow in grace, we learn that our relationship with God is important to Him as just as well as it is to us. He makes that clear to us. He wants to have a relationship with us. Faith, believe, and you'll receive what you ask for. It's written in Matthew chapter 21. Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you'll not only do what was done to the fig tree. Now remember, he had cursed a fig tree because it didn't have any figs. It wasn't even a time for figs. But he comes along, he's hungry, he goes for a fig, there's no figs, and he says, you be cursed. And the tree died, withered and died. Now you think, well, that's not the Jesus I know, but that's the Jesus of the Bible, okay? He said, not only will you be able to curse a tree and have it die, but hear what he has to say. You, if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done, if you have faith and don't doubt. Do you have faith in God? Do you really believe that He exists? Do you believe that He's the Creator of all that is, was, and ever shall be? Do you believe that you can have a relationship with Him? Do you believe that He will give you the wisdom that you need for every part of your life? Because He will. He says He will. His Word says He will. He says He gives it liberally and without reproach. He's not going to say, oh, here you go, come asking me for some more wisdom, right? No, that's not the God that we serve. Our Creator said, wisdom, yes, my child, here you go. Yes, my child, here you go. Doesn't matter how many times you ask. You can ask 100 times a day. He'll say, yes, my child, here you go. We have trouble getting through things. I remember John telling me about a roof job. He looked at a problem. He said, God, I need your help. God gave him the wisdom that he needed right there on the spot to do what needed to be done to protect that the inside of that building from the oncoming storm. And I remember hearing stories like that over and over, John. And I know when we ask God for wisdom, He gives it to us. I have asked God for wisdom and He's given it to me. And I won't go into all those explanations, but He has. As I said, I've made a lot of poor choices in my life when I was running from God. But when I hear from Him, He gives me wisdom. He gave me wisdom throughout the years that I've been here. I've been serving in this building now. It's the second congregation, the second church in this building. He's given me wisdom to get through all of the changes that have happened over the years. I've been here since 2007. And when I came here in 2007, I said, God, I'll stay here the rest of my life if that's what you want. And one of the people, he's on with the Lord now, he said, so, you're going to take this place over. I said, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I'm staying here. As long as God wants me here, I'll stay here. Obviously, God still wants me here. I'm still here. Faith, believe, and you'll receive what you ask for. The apostle said, increase our faith. Find that in Luke chapter 17. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed. Have you ever seen a mustard seed? Anybody ever seen a mustard seed? Wee little tiny thing. Tiny little thing. Wee tiny. I've done some illustrations with children and give them little packets of with a mustard seed in it. You know, it doesn't look like anything to them. Mustard seed. What's that? Mustard seed, Pastor. How about something in the treasure chest? Now we can figure that out, right? But a mustard seed is a wee tiny little seed, but it grows into this massive tree. Okay? And Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, move from here to there and it'll move, and nothing will be impossible for you. He said, no matter if you have faith and don't doubt, you'll say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it'll be done. You say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted by the sea, or planted in the sea, and it would obey you. He said, if you have faith and you don't doubt, it's real. If you need faith, ask God, because He gives faith. And what does He say where faith comes from? Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. Do you get that? The visitor's guide. That's where we get the faith that we need to get the wisdom. Because we have faith in God and we ask God for that wisdom, He gives us the wisdom. And as we're going through that visitor's guide, we might open it up and say, God, what in the world? How does that apply to me? And He'll give you the wisdom to understand how it applies to you. And I can only say, which I know has become a cliche, trust me. I know. I'm certain. If you trust and you believe and you look into His Word for the answers, He gives them to you. Remember, God's Word provides the faith that you need to receive the wisdom of God. James wrote that the one who doubts is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. We can't serve two masters. We can't serve faith and doubt. Now, we know that the Word tells us we can't serve God and mammon. But we can't serve faith and doubt at the same time. Is doubt a win? So we need to keep turning to God. God, give me wisdom. God, give me wisdom. Please give me wisdom. Father, help me. Beg Him if you must. And He will. He always does. We're to have wisdom that God promises. We must believe and not doubt our true master. Because we only have one master. Let's face it, folks, okay? If we're truly sold out to Christ, if in fact He is our Savior, then we have one master. It doesn't matter anybody else in our life. Our boss in a job is not our master. The board of a church is not the master. Christ is the master. We're all servants. And I want you to seal it in your mind. Seal this in your mind, okay? That the wisdom that you need to rejoice in difficulties only comes from God. You can't make it up yourself. You're not going to find it in yourself. You've got to go to God for it. And as we move forward as Christ's family that meets in this building, whether we meet together here or through the online channels that we're sharing the Word through, we're likely to face some troubles. That's the nature of this place that we live in. It's called Earth. It's a fallen world. Sin entered, and with sin came death, came destruction, came all of the turmoil that we see. But thanks be to God, we have Christ Jesus, our Lord, Yeshua, the Messiah, the one that God sent, the anointed one of God, who does bring redemption, who does deliver His people from evil. Some of our brothers and sisters around the world are already experiencing troubles for their faith in God's Messiah. Even today, there will be people who are persecuted and have trouble because of their faith. Let us thank God that we're not. But let us also not forget that we are to call others onto His path. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13 implores us to watch and stand fast in the faith, be brave and be strong, even when persecuted, even when there's troubles, even when there's difficulties, even when the car breaks down, even when you have a fight with your wife or your girlfriend or your husband or whomever, even when life really looks bad, when things are hard, be brave, be strong, and ask God for wisdom to deal with those things. Let's remember to ask God for the wisdom that's needed to be joyous even in those tough circumstances. And as I wrap this up, I want you to remember that He's the one who has an unlimited supply of wisdom. Remember Solomon. God said, because you are who you are, because you have done what you have done, I want to grant you anything you want. And Solomon, he said, I want wisdom. And God said, well, because you asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you riches too. Think about that. God covers everything we need. And He wants us to ask for wisdom. He really wants us to ask for wisdom. He's the one that can give it to you. Put yourself aside. Rely on Him. And I know that the first thing in our mind is not, well, how do I turn to God in this situation? But I hope, I really pray that each and every one of you, especially our young ones, you get this. Turn to God when things don't look good. Turn to God when things are tough. Turn to God when you're having a problem. Turn to God. Put yourself aside. Rely on Him faithfully without doubting. Trust Him to deliver you in the new year. Trust Him to deliver you in the new decade. 2020 doesn't just begin a new year. It's going to be 2021, 22, 23, 24. And should the Lord tarry and all of us prevail here on earth, might see 2029. 2030. Trust Him to deliver you. And together we'll be found wisely watching for His return when He arrives, because Christ Himself asked, will He find faith on the earth when He returns? And so that prompts me to help people uplift their faith. And how do we do that? Wisdom from God. We must turn to Him for the wisdom that's needed to face anything that this life brings. And in that, we will be found faithful when He returns. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You have helped us through all the days of our lives, just as James was Your bondservant. Help us to be Your bondservants. Help us to count it all joy when we fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of our faith produces patience. It's not a guess. It's knowledge. Help us to let patience have its perfect work, that we may be complete, lacking nothing. And Lord, when we lack wisdom, help us to remember to ask of You. We know that You give liberally and without reproach to all who will ask, and so we ask You to help us to remember to ask. Help us, Lord, to ask in faith with no doubting. Help us, Lord, not to be double-minded. Let us be Your people, Lord, who strengthen our relationship with You, Lord, that we would want nothing here but what You want for us, that we would want Your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, that we would want to forgive others, Lord, as we have been forgiven, that we would thank You for our daily bread, the food that You provide, that we would live for You and love You completely. Love our neighbors as ourselves, and love them so much, Lord, that we don't leave them where they are, but we show them the way to Christ. Pray, Lord, if there be anybody within the sound of my voice that doesn't know You, that somehow, Lord, You would draw them by Your Spirit. If there's anyone in this building, Lord, who doesn't know You, I ask that You would just draw them, Lord, out of their seat to this pulpit, Lord, where we could pray for them and usher them into Your kingdom. Father, I make no pretense. I'm not highly educated. I'm a man You've called. You know that I love You and I serve You. And I ask that each one here, Lord, would come to love You and serve You the way that I do. And I pray this all in Christ's name, that we would have wisdom to know that this is the way of Christ. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. Let's turn our hymnals to number 10. Rosalie chose this, and I believe I can sing it. Number 10, O God, our help in ages past.